Good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? All right, this is the excited crew that perhaps got to sleep in a little longer than our 8:30 crew. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for those of us that like to wake up after the sun. Amen. I just feel like it's more natural to be awake when the sun is up. Every time I go to sleep when it's dark and wake up when it's dark, it just feels strange. So praise the Lord. All the smiling faces, it's exciting to see you all this morning. As you can see, our story of the gentleman that adopted a young black girl, he tells the story of not only his interracial family, but also how he discovered, not knowing, but discovered that he had some biases. And so we're going to talk about it this morning. My name is Jason. I'm one of the pastors here. It's good to see you all. And as one of the pastors here, I've had the pleasure of being a part of the teaching team, but also being able to listen to all the pastors over several weeks. And we've been talking about racism. We've been talking about racial reconciliation. We've given some definitions about racism and what it means to be racist. And we are excited because together, all of us, not only in this room, but as pastors, we are speaking boldly and declaring that for the glory of God, we are one race of people and that we do not belong separated and divided. Amen? So, the thing that I love about this story is, you know, this man that didn't even realize that he had these biases, but what he came to understand is that we all have them. We all have them, and the problem with biases is when we don't talk about them, when we refuse to have the conversation, when we don't acknowledge them, because they're real. They're there. It doesn't matter if we want to deny it or not, but denial isn't going to help fix any problems. And so this man was a good man. He adopted a little girl. He was a good husband, good father, and still is a good man. But he realized, as we all should know, that being good does not exclude you from being sinful. Being a good person does not mean that you won't make mistakes and that there aren't things about ourselves that we can change. Amen? So, write this down. We all have biases. We all have biases. Hopefully we're going to be able to readily admit that to ourselves so that we can begin to move forward together. We're going to be looking in our scripture today, coming out of Galatians. Galatians chapter 2, we're going to be reading through verses 11 through 16. Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 16. Our first point today is good people can be racist. Good people can be racist. I know it sounds like an oxymoron. I know it doesn't sound right. It sounds weird. It sounds strange. But oftentimes when I have the conversation about racism with people, especially with other people that may be a little different than me, you know, people say, well, I understand what you're saying, but I'm not, like, I'm a good person. And we always want to explain to people that, no, I assume you're a good person. Like, that's the first assumption. I assume that every person in this room that's looking back at me, I assume that you're a good person. I assume that you love your family, that your family loves you, that you're a hard worker, dedicated Christian. I don't know these things for sure, but I assume that. That's the base level that I start at. But what we have to understand and what we have to explain to all of our brothers and sisters, our friends and family, is that good people can be racist. Good people can do wrong things. Good people can have bad thoughts. So let's get into the scripture. So we start here in Galatians chapter 2. Paul has come to Antioch. And as we can see in here, he is a little frustrated. So when you see the word Cephas, theologians say that Cephas is actually Peter. And so every time you see that word, you can think of Peter. We're going to go with that assumption as well. It says, when Cephas came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. This is Paul talking. For before certain men came from James, he used to eat with Gentiles. But when they arrived, he began to draw back and separate himself from the Gentiles because he was afraid of those who belonged to the circumcision group. The other Jews joined him in his hypocrisy, so that by their hypocrisy, even Barnabas was led astray. What we find here is the understanding that racism in itself is a hypocrisy. But just like Paul did, every time we see racism, we have a responsibility to call it out. And to call out people that are not acting the way the gospel tells us to act. You see, Peter had learned to accept the Gentiles. Peter had developed a good relationship with the Gentiles. Peter was hanging out. He had become accustomed to their society. He was part of the family. He was going to the local soccer games and cheering for his friends' children. He was at the bake sales and going to the PTA meetings. He was part of the family. But some old friends showed up, some people that knew him back in the day. And this group of people, they were hanging out with James. These were Christ followers. These were Pharisees that were converted. They were now living the life of Jews, following the Lord. And when they showed up, Peter withdrew himself. He became afraid of what they may think. He became afraid that people may look down on him, perhaps look down on him the way that they look down on the Gentiles. You see, racism is very alluring. It provides this idea that you are better than another person. And it's very attractive because it makes you feel good to believe that we are better than someone. And if we're not careful and if we do not know the gospel, or even if we do know the gospel, we can still be deceived and led astray by the hypocrisy of racism. This is true because we see Peter and Barnabas, who we could call pillars of the gospel, pillars of the faith, were led astray. This idea that we are better than anyone else is a false gospel. Knowing Jesus and accepting him into your heart does not make you better than anyone else. But it does make you powerful. And the power of the gospel is something not to toy with, something not to take for granted. In our next point, we see that ending racism is our responsibility. Several weeks ago, I talked about how racism might not be your fault, but it is your responsibility. You see, the power of the gospel makes it our responsibility. So we cannot simply ignore it, not talk about it, or pretend as if it doesn't apply to us. Let's keep going. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, when I saw that they were not acting in line with the truth of the gospel, I said to Cephas in front of them all, you are a Jew, yet you live like a Gentile and not like a Jew, how is it then that you force Gentiles to follow Jewish customs? I'm going to pull a certain phrase, paraphrasing a great philosopher. You know him as Spider-Man's uncle. He says, with great power comes great responsibility. You see, as a Christian, we have great power, and we are to use that power responsibly. But as a Christian, if your only goal is to make yourself better, if your only goal is to make your own life better, you are not living up to your responsibilities as a Christian. You see, you have a responsibility, we have a responsibility to tell other people about Jesus. We have a responsibility to take the gospel to all people. We have a responsibility to take the power of the gospel to people that need help. You see, as Christians, we have a responsibility not to look down on others. We have a responsibility to care more about than just ourselves. You see, in this particular passage, Peter, instead of being concerned about the welfare of the Gentiles, instead of being concerned about making sure that the Gentiles knew who Jesus was, he was worried about what other people would think of him. He was worried about maybe his past life and how people used to see him. And for some reason, all of a sudden, he became ashamed of the people he was hanging out with. And not only did he become ashamed, but in this particular passage, we find that Paul is telling him, who do you think you are? What are you doing? You're a Jew. You're living like the Gentiles. You're hanging out with the Gentiles. You're spending with the Gentiles. But then you have the nerve to try to tell the Gentiles that they need to live like Jews. You see, as Christians, we have a responsibility to tell people about the gospel, to introduce people to Jesus. What we do not belong to do, what we should not do, is try to tell people who don't know Jesus that they need to live like us and be like us and do what we do and talk the way we talk and walk the walk that we walk. They cannot do that because they don't know Jesus. They need Jesus first. But oftentimes, as Christians, just like Peter was doing, we can find ourselves telling people about their lives and who they should be and what they should say and how they should act, but they haven't received the revelation of Jesus Christ yet. It is Jesus that changes everything. And these people see our lives, the people that are lost, they see our lives, and we have to make sure that we are living the truth of the gospel. They need to see the example of our lives and how we treat people, how we talk to people, how we engage people. That is their view into the gospel. That is their view into the Bible. That is their view into Christianity. And if we don't do that right, if we mess that up, we could be the reason that they don't be introduced to Jesus, that they don't follow Christ. So we have to be ever so careful with the power of the gospel. We have to be ever so careful to understand our responsibility. You see, the practical application of not being racist, the practical application of not supporting racism, may mean that we have to do some things differently, that we have to change the way we think about certain things and certain groups of people. It may mean that we have to consider that even though we are good people and even though we are not racist, but when we see racism or when we hear racism, we have to speak up. We have to say something. We cannot be silent. We may have to consider where we spend our money, the type of businesses that we support, things that we maybe never even considered before, that we never even thought of, but because it impacts groups of people that may not be like us, we need to think about the welfare of others and how that affects them. We may have to consider our voting patterns and who we look to lead us. And most of all, we will have to think about how we advocate for those that need it most. We have to think about the poor. We have to think about the widows. We have to think about the sick and how we as Christians can help them through the power of the gospel. Let me detour just for a minute and talk to just the men in the room. We don't get to hide behind taking care of our families as a reason for not loving our neighbors. You see, we can take care of our families. We can be good husbands. We can be good providers. We can be good protectors. And we can claim that that is our sole responsibility. That is my main focus. I don't have time for anything else. But if we use that as a reason not to love our neighbor, we're not doing it right. We don't get a pass on everything else because we're good providers. And if we're good providers, but we refuse to associate with people that are different than us, that are a different color than us, that are different religion than us, then we're not doing it right. You see, if you love your family, but you have no love left over for the lesbian couple that lives a few doors down from you, if you love your family, but you have no love left over for the Muslim couple that shops at the same grocery store as you, no love left over for those that vote differently than you, you are diminishing the power of the gospel in your own life. If you have no love left over for those that may kneel during the national anthem, or you have no love left over for the Latino family that is in this country illegally, if we have no love left over for those that may protest police brutality, if we have no love left over for the woman that had an abortion and she believes that that's her right, if we don't have love for those people, then we diminish the power of the gospel in our own lives. Those people are no less deserving of the love of Christ than you. Those people need the same Jesus that you have. And it is all of our responsibilities to take the gospel to every single one of them, no matter who they are, what they look like, how they vote, what their lifestyle is. We all need the same Jesus. Amen? Our third point today is the gospel is powerful. The gospel is powerful. Verse 15 reads, "We who are Jews by birth and not sinful Gentiles know that a person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ." So, we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. Because by the works of the law, no one will be justified. You see, the power of the gospel goes further than the work of our hands. It goes a lot further than the things that we can do. The power of the gospel is found only in our faith in Jesus Christ. It is Christ that holds that power. And I believe that the gospel is powerful enough to defeat racism. And if you are a Christian, that means that that power lives inside of you. If you are a Christian and we find ourselves with racist thoughts or racist actions, then we diminish the power of the gospel in our lives. It doesn't mean that all of a sudden you are no longer a good person. It doesn't mean that you are no longer a Christian. But the work that Jesus can do through you, that power becomes diminished. And we never, ever want to find ourselves not able to take the Jesus that we love so much and share that Jesus with everyone. You see, if you are a Christian and the only thing that you have to offer to the fight against racism is opposition to the fight against racism, you diminish the power of the gospel in your life. And I understand sometimes we get tired of talking about it. Sometimes we don't want to keep on having the conversation. But when those fighting against the sin of racism, when they call out racism, when they see it, we have to make sure that the only thing, we have to make sure what we're not doing is just simply questioning whether or not that racism they saw was real or whether or not their experience was legitimate. Instead of always asking the question, are your feelings legitimate? Are you sure? Sometimes we have to offer to pray for people. You see, if you don't have a record of fighting against racism, if you don't have a record of speaking out against it, those people that are, they want you to join the fight, but they don't want you to join the fight kicking and screaming. That's painful for everybody. That's not helpful to you. It's not helpful to them. We don't want you to be walking around without joy in your life. But if ignoring sin is what causes us joy, what brings us happiness, then we have to look in the mirror. We have to check our motives. We have to examine ourselves to make sure that we are truly loving our neighbors the way that God has called us to love our neighbors. You see, Pastor Allen taught us a couple of weeks ago. He said that perhaps we should walk the walk or just be quiet. And I tend to think that is great advice. Because sometimes we need to speak up a little more. Sometimes we need to join in on the conversation. And sometimes we do, in fact, need to just be a little quieter. Sometimes we say things too quickly, too loudly. And it leads us down a path that we didn't intend to go. Sometimes our thoughts get away from us and we don't realize that those thoughts are wrong. Just like the gentleman we watched in the video. He first thought that he was protecting someone, that he was helping, that he was doing something that was good. And then he realized that it was a mistake. I know that oftentimes we are eager to move on from the conversation about racism. But trust me when I tell you that no one is more eager to move on from the conversation of racism than the people that suffer from it. And as Christians, we must take the power of the gospel, the power to defeat racism, the power to defeat sin day by day, moment by moment. We must take that with us everywhere we go. God desires for us to live amongst all of our brothers and sisters. peacefully with love. But if we are not taking the gospel to every person, to people that don't look like us, that don't think the same way that we think, we are not handling our responsibilities as Christians. We must do more. We must go further. We must push the conversation so that people will experience the love of Christ, knowing that we are not the only ones that deserve it, knowing that perhaps those conversations will be difficult. And as we go out and have those gospel conversations, I always try to remember what Pastor Jeff tells us all the time as pastors. Go out and tell people about Jesus, even if that conversation, even if you feel like it just bombs, even if you feel like it was just terrible, that you just fumbled all over it, do it anyway. Even if you walk away from the conversation like, man, I really butchered that thing. Like, I gave my best shot, but man, I was terrible. Do it anyway. Because we know that the word of the Lord never returns void. It has the power. You, without Jesus, is nothing. But you with Jesus is everything. And it is exactly what people need. So let us pray for those that don't look like us, that don't vote the way that we vote, that don't serve the Jesus that we serve. Let's pray for them knowing that they need the same Jesus that we have. With love in our hearts, knowing that Jesus loves them. And he doesn't love them any less or any more than he loves us. I want to offer you some next steps today. If you've been listening and you heard this conversation about the power of the gospel and this man named Jesus that we're talking about, and you want to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if you want to know this man that we call Savior, then I want to invite you to accept the Lord into your heart. And we want to pray with you. We want to pray for you. We want to walk that walk with you. Or maybe you are listening to this message today and you're saying to yourself, I don't want to be a hypocritical Christian. I figured that's most of us. It's certainly me. Maybe that's something we can be praying for you about. Or perhaps you yourself are praying for the courage to confront your own biases. We all have them. This is something that we should always be praying about. I want to pray for you. And then Pastor Jeff is going to come say hi. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for being our King, being our Savior, being our provider. Father, we pray that if our hearts need to be changed, that you would help us to change. Father, we pray that if we have lived with the sin of racism, if we have committed the sin of racism, or if we have observed and ignored racism, we pray that you would give us the courage to speak up, to advocate for and love those that don't look like us or think like us or don't worship you, God. Father, right now as a church, we pray that you bind us together, dear God, that the things that bring us closer together would be stronger than anything that would ever try to tear us apart. That our love for you would be the first thing in our lives, and that we would take that to everyone we know. We thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you are going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.